Okay, all right, let's start over. Good morning, it's August 18th, 2019, and right now it is 10:44 a.m., and we're at the Westside Peace Center.
It's 10:48, okay.
Westside Peace Center in Los Angeles, this is the KPFK Local Station Board meeting. Calling the meeting to order, and Mr. Secretary, could you do the roll call?
Yes, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron, present. I am present. Singy Bird.
Present.
Singy Bird, present. Fred Blair.
Present.
Fred Blair, present. Sandy Childs requested an excused absence. Bella DeSoto.
Here.
Bella DeSoto, present. Jan Goodman requested an excused absence, as did Ali Lexa. Rob Macon. Barbara Marbach.
Present.
Barbara Marbach, present. Michelle Manos requested an excused absence. Michael Novick.
Here.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Oh, didn't hear you. Michael Novick, present. Nancy Perlman.
Here.
Nancy Perlman, present. Reza Poor.
Present.
Reza Poor, present. Steve Pride requests an excused absence. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes, present. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Paul Roberson, present. Mansoor Sabah.
I request an excused absence, but I showed
up. Okay, Mansoor Sabah, present. Oscar Ulloa.
Present.
Oscar Ulloa, present. Polina Vasiliev.
Present.
Polina Vasiliev, present. Kiana Williams.
Right here.
Kiana Williams, present. Lisa Wong. Okay, Lisa Wong is not here yet. So, Mr. Chair, we have 14 people. We have quorum.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is one of the board members resigned, Jamie Gomez. And so... He resigned. So we have seated another, or intended to seat today, Fiorella Majorca, but she hasn't arrived yet. So I think we'll just give her some time to come in late. This is her first time attending.
Question.
But we have another backup after that.
How is it decided who to seat?
Oh, the people, if because of the election, everybody was ranked. So people who weren't elected are still ranked. So they're called alternates.
Oh.
And in sequence, they occupy the abandoned seats.
Where does Robert fall in that?
Pardon me?
Where
I can send you an email where the election results are.
Appreciate that.
Sure.
If you'd like him to sit over here, just
so.
We need to be away from each other.
Okay. So, and if we ran out of alternates, then we would elect somebody. Yes, Michael?
The secretary said there are 14 present, but I think there are 16.
Okay, let's count it up.
Okay.
How many are
you? Oh, you're right. I see why the spreadsheet goofed on that. Hang on, I'll fix that.
How many are
you're
on
right.
the board?
24.
And the quorum is
13,
yeah.
Well, because we only have 23 today, technically, because Jamie resigned.
And Fiella hasn't arrived.
It would be 12, but it's moot because we have 16. We're well beyond.
It's usually 60%.
Okay, come on, let's move along. I need a timekeeper to make sure everybody stays within 90 seconds.
Dictatorial or just loose?
How about you?
Well, you override everybody, so I don't know if...
Well, I'll try to. Well, I appreciate your corrections, but you keep me in line.
Yeah, you don't pay attention.
Okay.
All right, timekeeper.
Okay, so now looking at the agenda, I don't know if you had much of an opportunity to review it, but we have the general manager here. And his report is scheduled right near the front. But also, we're going to have a closed session that we want him to attend. So he's here now. So I was going to maybe move him somewhere, but he's here now. So we're going to leave the agenda the way it is. Is there anybody who has a recommendation to change the agenda? Michael.
Yes, I'd like to add
Michael, could you use the mic or speak up?
I'd like to add an item of new business at the end of the agenda,
before adjournment and after.
And which agenda? The open session agenda?
Yes.
It's the only agenda we have in front of us, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So the item, new item 10, new business 7, both would like to introduce. I'm not sure where to send it.
Can you speak louder, okay, Michael?
Somebody's going to have to translate that. I didn't get it.
I'd like to add an item of new business as an item 10 before the adjournment, which would then become item 11.
What's the item?
I have a motion I would like to introduce, and so I want to have an item of new business on the agenda. That's the agenda item, is new business, and I'll make the motion if we add it to the agenda.
Can you give us the motion?
Seconded.
The motion is to have Pacifica take an editorial.
Wait, slow down. Slower. To do what?
The motion is to urge Pacifica to take an editorial stance against the blockade and embargo of Cuba.
Oh, so you want to recommend that the National Board take a political stance.
Editorial stance.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. All right.
Pacifica or KPFK?
Well, you said Pacifica.
Pacifica.
Okay, anybody else? Well, does anybody object to adding that to the agenda? Okay, no objections. It's added as item 10. Yeah, that's right. Any other changes for the agenda?
I'd like to recommend we add a director's report into the reporting section.
Okay. Pardon me, one second. We have local advisory committee reports, programming oversight committee, personnel committee, town hall, and then a public comment, and then a local treasurer's report. You're right. We omitted director's reports. So you want to make that above?
I don't care. Wherever you'd like to put it.
Well, okay, let's put it after the treasurer's report. Okay, that'll be director's reports. So that's item 9, and then 10 becomes public comment, and 11 becomes new business, and 12 becomes adjourned.
Okay.
Any other modifications to the agenda? Yes, Lawrence.
Yes, I'd like to add a section somewhere on the agenda for community announcements.
Community announcements?
Yeah,
okay.
Second.
Okay, anybody, let's say if we put that.
New business?
New business. The first thing in new business. The last thing in new business. The last thing, just before we adjourn. So we'll have Michael's motion and then community announcements. Now, this is going to be limited to announcements about events that are open to the public and nonprofit institutions, whatever. And we'll limit that till not more than 10 minutes. That's what I'm proposing. So any objections to that addition? Okay, any objections to the agenda as amended? Okay. No, without objections, the agenda is approved. And now we go to approval of excused absence one at a time. Could you call them out and see if we have objections?
Sandy Childs is recovering from a medical procedure. Any objections to her excused absence? Okay, none. Jan Goodman is traveling, returning from vacation, and not able to make it today. Any objection to her request for an excused absence? Ali Lexa is out of town with relatives. Any objection to his excused absence? Michelle Manos has a conflict with a work event. Any objection to her excused absence? Okay.
Okay, very good. We're done with excused absences. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Steve Pride. There was one more. He came in late. I apologize. Steve Pride is still out with stroke-related issues and hopes to be back. He said in his email that he hopes to be back next month. Any objection to his request for an excused absence?
Okay, go ahead. State your objection.
I make a motion to have him removed from the board.
Okay, in order to make a motion to remove someone from the board, bylaws require 7-day notice, I think.
That is wrong.
Is it?
Not so. It has to be decided by the body.
Okay.
Grace?
There are bylaws requirements that have to do with removing somebody from the board. The person would have to be notified and told why, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a long process. You might want to modify your motion by saying to begin proceedings to remove them from the board, if you want.
Okay, yes. I can look. I'm not going to take the time to look it up. It's a protocol in the bylaws for removing somebody from the LSB, and we can't just sit up and vote on it right now today. The guy has to be notified, charges, chance to defend himself, and so forth, and then you vote. But that's in the bylaws if you look it up. Yes, dear.
Mr. Chair, the procedure for someone that does not attend consecutive 3 days many times is a very different issue. There's a procedure exclusively for that, and I know that you are aware of that, and I even sent that information to the secretary.
Hold it a minute.
Go ahead. Let her finish.
Also, the same applies for Lisa Wong. I don't care how you do it. My motion is to start immediate proceeding. I will go along with that. I want these two people removed. There are people waiting to come
people's
work.
Bella, listen.
Thank you.
Bella, if each one of us stands up and makes a speech, we're not going to get anything done.
But this is every month that happens.
Thank you. Got the argument.
Thank you.
I'm not aware of anybody who has had 3 consecutive absences that were not excused. So calling for a dismissal on the basis of 3 consecutive absences doesn't apply. We've already reviewed. Please, I tried not to interrupt you. At least give it a try. Give it a try to let me finish.
The truth.
Bella, when someone else is talking, give them a chance to speak. I'm certain a lot of us don't speak the truth. That's not the issue.
Oh, really?
The issue is respect for somebody else who's speaking. I try to do that with you. That's the end of it. So, there's nobody. We've had the secretary review all of the attendance. There was nobody who had 3 consecutive absences that were not excused. So, you can make a motion to have the people dismissed. We can look at that, but you have to submit charges and reasons why. Otherwise, the motion may not be valid. 1 second. Yes, Barbara.
I do think this is an exception. It's not like we haven't heard from Steve at all. He's had an illness. He's recovering. He's part of our community and still involved, and I would not go for a motion to remove him at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Paul, sorry.
To kind of follow up on what you said, he has communicated. And I get your point, the fact that he's been gone consistently, but the fact that it is a medical ailment and the fact that he said that he'll be back next month kind of shows that he's making an attempt. The other lady, I mean, she hasn't been here, so I get that. But him, it is a medical reason.
I had my hair.
Okay, Lawrence, yes, but you've already spoke on this. We go to everybody else first.
So I'd like to request the orders of the day. We were excusing, voting on whether we were going to excuse votes. So I'd like to go back to that.
Could you repeat it again?
We were focusing on excusing folks.
We already voted on that.
Yeah, we hadn't on Steve.
We haven't voted on Steve.
Or Lisa.
Pardon me.
Lisa did not request an excused absence.
Lisa did not request
an excused absence at this point.
It was just Steve.
Point of information.
You spoke already, so let me go to Bella.
Okay, so my motion still applies to Steve Pride and Lisa Wong. and I will make this very clearly why Steve Pride, even though he has been in the process of recovering, his position has been kept at the board to prevent Fernando Velasquez from entering back into the board. And for that reason, strategically, it is not fair, it is unjust, and by November, his position will be over. He terms out Steve Pride. Therefore, maintaining a position open for this person on the board, it is just simply unfair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Grace?
I just wanted to say that Lisa Wong came to the last meeting. It's true that she is quiet, but she has attended most meetings. And disparaging her as a board member, I think, is improper and uncalled for. And it's true that she didn't request an excuse absence today, so either she'll show up or we can, we're not going to excuse her absence.
Okay,
but in
thank
terms
you.
Of Steve Pride, I think we should just go to a vote on whether or not to excuse his absence.
Okay, so here's, this is the story, as best I know, the bylaws. Any member can make a request to have a hearing to get somebody removed from the LSB. We have nobody who qualifies for removal because of three consecutive unexcused absences. There is nobody. So if you want to, you can make a motion to say you want to get Steve Pride removed from the board, and you can say that, and we'll go through the bylaws, but he has to be notified, and we have a hearing. You cannot legally make a motion to have him removed for three consecutive absences or whatever you believe is a political motivation. There has to be a valid a reason covered in the bylaws. Yes, Bella.
So this is regarding Lisa Wong and Steve Pride.
Well,
and I am requesting,
you have to bifurcate
and I am requesting my position that this procedure be looked into and dealt with. And I don't think we should keep wasting time.
Okay,
let's go into a vote.
Okay, we will not vote on removing Steve Pride for three consecutive absences. Doesn't happen. You want to make a motion to have somebody removed from the board, make the motion. One person at a time.
I have already done so, and you continue to resist what
make
I'm
the
requesting.
Motion. What is the motion?
The motion is to start proceedings to remove Steve Pride from the board.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. I've said that several times.
Okay, so anybody who seconds that motion? Okay, there is no second.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there another motion on Lisa Wong?
The same applies to her.
Okay, I cannot make that motion unless you're saying it's not for the absences, it's for some other reason.
It's the same situation.
Repeat your request.
What's the request?
Make the motion.
Name, please.
Lisa Wong to be removed from the board for her continuous lack of fiduciary responsibility to this board.
Okay, thank
which
you.
Means what?
Anybody, does anybody
means
second
what?
That motion?
Absences.
Nobody's speaking out of turn, please. Does anybody second the motion on removing Lisa Wong? Okay, nobody seconds. So now let's proceed. Thank you.
Can we go back to excused absences and just finish that up?
Go ahead.
How many people object to Steve Pride receiving an excused absence for today? All right, one objection. Okay, all right, thank you.
Continue. All right, now we have minutes, but we had a technical difficulty, so we don't have the printed copies. But if you've read over the minutes, I can ask if somebody wants to, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Yes?
I'd like to make a motion to table this issue to the minutes available.
Okay. Anybody second that?
Second.
Okay. Anybody opposed to tabling the minutes till the next meeting?
That's called postponement. Not
postponement. Okay. Postponement. All right. Good.
You
postpone till the next meeting. No objections. Approval of the minutes of the last meeting will be postponed until the next meeting. And next, time certain to adjourn. I had set a time certain of 12:30. And I think we can still meet that because we're moving along reasonably well. I don't even know what time it is now. What time is it?
11:04.
We're kind of on schedule.
Chair?
Yes.
A new member.
Ah. Please stand up. This is Fiella. Fiorella.
Fiorella.
Please introduce yourself to the board.
Oh, okay. I'm Fiorella.
And your last name, please.
Fiorella Isabel Majorca.
Hi, I'm Fiorella Isabel Majorca, and I'm happy to be here. I have so many new ideas that I really want to bring to the table. So I'm happy to work with all of you.
Tell us your background.
Oh, so I am an independent media journalist. I have my own YouTube show. And I have a degree in public relations and English. And I'm also an activist in the community as well. And right now I'm volunteering for Bernie Sanders.
Oh, good.
I'm also, I also help other political candidates with their writing and just do a lot of like independent media. And I often come to KPFK on Mondays to work with Ernesto Arce. So,
very cool.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Yes, thank you. Everybody, let's give her a welcome.
Yeah.
That's a good job. Okay, so, oh, yes. Now, the next thing is we're going to adjourn at 12:30, and we're going to vote for it on it, but we're going to have a closed session after that. So the next thing is, the next meeting I propose to be September 15th at 10:30 in this location. Any objection to that? That's the second Sunday of the month. Was it the second or third? No, it's the second.
Oh, first, 15th.
It's the third
Sunday of the month.
We're always third Sunday of the month.
Well, September 17th, September 15th doesn't look like it's the...
It's the first, the 8th, and the 15th. It's the third Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is the third Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. Any objection to that? Okay. Next is update on the election. We're done with the preliminary business. The election started... accepting ballots August 15th. And I believe it's going to run for 2 months, but I want to talk with anybody here who's in closer touch with the National Election Supervisor and so forth. There's two pieces of information I found out about this. One is the National Election Supervisor will continue to send out emails to encourage people to vote. It's one of the reasons that electronic voting has been more successful. And the other thing is, because of our organization, we've saved a lot of cost not having and not requiring local election supervisors. And everything's running smoothly. And that's a part of that was the automation or digitization of the petitions and so forth. So we're saving money on the elections and we're getting better returns. Yes, Michael and then Lawrence. All right, Lawrence can go first.
So I just want to put on notice that the National Election Supervisor has been violating these bylaws, in particular when it comes to the fair campaign provisions of the section of the bylaws that state that all candidates should have equal access to all resources. And that has not happened. And it's just been blatant that some people got the opportunity at the last moment to do a video, YouTube video, as a candidate, but a lot of people were not notified. And yet, the opportunity to engage our listeners, receive questions from our listeners, concerns, has not been adhered to. So I have discussed this on a previous occasion with the chair of the PNB, which is Grace Aaron. And I'm very concerned that some people are being disenfranchised.
30 seconds.
And, you know, that's not what we're about. I think everybody here, whether you're a candidate with one slate or the other, should have the same opportunity to access those resources as anybody else.
Okay, thank you. Michael?
Yeah, I take exception to what the chair said, that the process is running smoothly, that one of the consequences of not having a local election supervisor is that there are no scheduled on-air forums for the candidates with the opportunity for listeners to call in with their questions, which is a requirement in the bylaws. That's required over and above the idea of running carts. So I think that this is a grave
violation
of the bylaws and of great consequence. To our listeners, it's not just denying the candidates their rights, but it's denying the listeners their bylaws right to question the candidates on the air.
Okay, thank you. And, okay, wait a second. On this issue, Bella, then Grace.
Yes, we made a motion that was passed last month in governance, specifically dealing with this. I took the liberty of also sending the motions after approval to Aniel, the GM of KPFK, to make sure he was on the same page regarding the on-air forums that are essential, critical, or urgently needed for the whole, the community of Spanish-speaking and all of our listeners, as Michael has alluded to. This is critical. This is an enormous violation. This is why the election results are the way they are, where a group gets the advantage and the others do not. And this has to be looked into and analyzed. This is not something that is just passing by. And this is becoming a pattern. Thank you.
Okay. Grace?
The election information is at elections.pacifica.org. And if you scroll down on the front of that page, it says important dates. August 15th, balloting phase begins. And then October 15th, balloting phase closes. November 1st, results announced. To my understanding, the National Election Supervisor suggested that if the local board or the local candidates, whatever, and the general manager desire to hold on-air forums, that would be fine. But it's going to be up to the locals to get that done. So, you know, you have your general manager here, and that's perfectly fine with the National Election Supervisor, but the National Election Supervisor does not have the financial wherewithal or the ability to organize all of that.
Thank you. We're out of time on this topic. We're out of time on this topic.
Can I just have a
somebody wants to change
extend
the agenda.
Extend time, please.
Extend time. What? Lawrence is first. What was that?
I requested that this be noticed in the minutes, and I don't see my good friend Michael typing anything.
Well,
so I just like to have this our concerns noticed in the minutes.
Okay, thank you. The meeting is being recorded, and the secretary listens to the recording when he draws the minutes. So you may not see him writing stuff, and he's not really obligated. Pardon me, your request to have it noted in the minutes is specific, so we'll make sure that occurs.
What exactly would you like put in the minutes?
The concerns in regards to the elections that everybody has expressed here, in particular, that the bylaw section on the fair campaign provisions have not been followed.
Okay, thank you. Well, we're out of time. You'd have to extend time in the section. Okay, how long?
No, 3 minutes is fine.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we're going to do this because otherwise Mansell's going to get very mad at me. So there's a motion to extend the time talking about the election by 3 minutes. Does anybody second that?
It has been seconded here.
Okay. Anybody opposed to extending 3 minutes? Just one person? Okay, so let's extend for 3 minutes on election.
Okay.
And let's go. Nancy hasn't spoken at all on this topic. Go ahead, Nancy.
One is a question. What I was hearing was that the general manager or the program manager determines whether or not to have an on-air forum. In terms of elections, whether or not it's elections for the Pacifica, for the KPFK, for general elections, the most valuable thing that we as media can do is have public forums. So I truly advocate that whatever needs to be done and is required for us to do it, I would hope so.
Right, thank you. Now let's go to Polina.
I just wanted to remind the board that we did pass a motion at the previous meeting to recommend that management organize on-air forums, and I also remember myself offering help in that regard.
Okay, thank you. Bella?
Yes, so you just repeated what I said before, but we already know that the National Election Supervisor does not have the purview. That's not the issue. The issue is in the spirit of the bylaws. It is mandated to adhere to the fair election campaign procedure. Therefore, the general manager is here. He has known about this, and something has to be addressed and done soon. Thank you.
Okay, Aniel, I'll give you the courtesy to speak.
I know we all realize that we're in fund drive almost every other month, which means we compromise regular programming. People, most of the people I engage with, listeners and voting members, want regular programming. And that's what I intend to try and keep and maintain. But we do have to interrupt regular programming for fundraising. We certainly need help in that area. That is by far the foremost concern of most members and listening people of the public. That is their concern. I rarely hear any requests, if any, where are the forums for the election. I'm just being straight up honest. It's not me being an obstructionist. This is what our listeners want. They want regular programming. So that's what I'm going to try and provide. I certainly have always extended a hand for you all to help with fundraising. Once we get a lot of fundraising done, we don't have to be in fund drives every other month, and we can maintain most of our programming and be able to do things like this, the forums that y'all would like.
Okay, thank you. We're out of time on this topic. Everybody has spoken.
Point of information, Chair.
No, sorry.
Point
not on this topic. Chair. Not on this topic. This
is
topic
the
is
point
over.
Of information.
Is it on this topic of
yes,
elections?
Topic.
No.
What?
I don't recognize you. No. We're done. The time is over. And members don't speak now. So we're going to go ahead with the agenda, okay? And the next thing on the agenda, I'm going to call on Paul. We've analyzed the participation in committees here has been scant. And I don't think, I consider that the members here have forgotten what their obligations and duties are as local station board members. We have one new one here. So I want you to read this as fast as you can, as well as you can. The local station board, this is Article 7, Section 3, specific powers and duties of the local station board.
On the second page.
And it's very significant, the first paragraph. Could you just read the first paragraph?
Yes, Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 3, specific powers and duties. The first paragraph says, each LSB acting as a standing committee of the foundation's board of directors shall have the following powers, duties, and responsibilities related to a specific radio station under the direction and supervision of the foundation's board of directors.
Okay, before you go on, this is a very important point. It says in the bylaws that the stations or the local station board operates these powers and duties under the direction and supervision of the foundation's board of directors. And this is going to be significant because when we get to the governance report, there are two resolutions made by the national board that are going to apply to the station. So it's significant to see that that's it. That's the way it is. It's a top-down governance structure. So now let's go on with the reading of this and go over what the duties are. Go ahead.
All right, so A.
One second, go ahead.
I'd like to dispense with the reading to this. I mean, I think
second.
It's kind of insulting.
Totally.
Okay, thank you.
It's unnecessary.
Okay, so there's a motion that was seconded to skip over reading these out loud.
Thank you.
We do have a new board member here. I would just like to hear from her. Would you feel comfortable reading this at another time, or do you want to step over and
taking up too much time?
I can read them.
Okay.
It's okay. Does anybody object to skipping the reading? Okay, I'll concede to that. Saves us time. But you do have to be aware of these specific things. I, as a personal opinion, I feel we're deficient in various areas, that we haven't done our reviews of the general manager and the program director. We haven't really presented to national a financial analysis on a quarterly basis. Mm-hmm. We haven't really reviewed budgets to speak of. I'm guilty of that, too. So I want us to try. These are good bylaws. These are good duties and responsibilities. Look them over. Take advantage of them. push to control the station. Yes, Barbara?
I would like to suggest, because you've just listed a lot of things that we haven't been doing, is that we target one for each board meeting, put it on the agenda, and address it.
Okay, very good. Good idea. Okay, very good.
It needs to be emotional.
Yeah. Could you do that?
Could I do what?
Could you do that? Make a list of the things you've discovered?
Okay, we'll work together.
We'll work together. Okay, great. All right, well, then we're skipping this part of the agenda, so let's move on. And here we have Aniel Fields. He's already distributed a report called State of the Station 2019.
How much time?
I don't see the time. Yeah, because I put that in later. Let's say with a report and Q&A, you need 20 minutes?
Give or take, yeah.
Is there a public copy of the report?
Yes, here.
It's quite extensive.
The board members cannot get copies.
Here, hand me the staff there.
Yeah, but we need...
I did email them. I also included a link to...
Yeah, you can borrow
one. Oh, so sorry. I should be doing such a stupid thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your phone?
Yeah.
It's a rather extensive report, and so we don't have printed out copies, but you do have it electronically. Okay, Aniel.
Okay. What I emailed is State of the Station, which I give a summary of what's going on at the station. I published that in June, made it available to our public. Included it in emails and held a conversations with the listener in June and again in latter part of July, and we'll do another one in September or take calls from listeners and have a conversation. I also included in my email earlier this week with the report focused not so much a report but an in-depth look at our fundraising model and some ideas for the short, medium, and long-term solutions to our fundraising problem. And I'm going to keep my report fairly short, but I'm going to speak on fundraising since we are in a fund drive and in a terrible situation of being in a perpetual fundraising mode, which has compromised our mission and effectively crippled our service to the public. It's getting more and more apparent. It's getting more and more difficult under with the tools that we have. And tools, I mean, the software and the solutions we have used traditionally over, I don't know, last 10 years plus. In going to the air, offering premiums, not engaging with our donors. I think it's very apparent that we need to change the way that we do our fundraising and put our donors at the center of fundraising and not going to our donors like ATMs and asking for money on our terms. Taking time and months to do some studying about the nonprofit industry, public media industry, and how they do fundraising. I've taken some webinars, too, as well. So you'll find in my report, I do draw on a lot of actual data to make the case that we do need to change our membership model. Most stations, public media stations in the U.S., fund their operations with 50% of their listener revenue coming from sustainer membership. We are around 10%, 11%, and unfortunately, I can't get an accurate answer because of the tools, the software we use to manage our database. So I think this is an apparent crisis that we're in, and I implore the board to roll up their sleeves and join us in fundraising. I'd also like to thank Polina for helping during this fund drive and also with the walkathon we did in June. I think we need more people rolling up their sleeves and helping the station, not so much controlling the station. We could do this stuff together, and I'm here to help with anyone that would like to help fundraise. Sir Rob Macon, I've been engaging with him to help set up a peer-to-peer fundraising effort. You know, let's just we need to raise funds off the air. I can't stress that enough. And it can't just be incumbent upon the staff at the station and the few volunteers that actually help. One of the things that I find alarming is that most of our programmers, for whatever reason, opt not to participate. I can't blame them because we're not setting them up for success. We have about 30 days before we're into the next fund drive. It doesn't give time for us to procure and vet premiums we feel are going to be worthwhile pitching. But also, most importantly, we're not able to work with volunteer programmers to give them the necessary training, develop messaging that resonates with our diverse audience. So, again, I implore the board to help in any way that they can to help develop the station in terms of fundraising. Without adequate fundraising, it doesn't matter what kind of programs we have on the air, it's going to get interrupted. Here's an example. Sonali's program was on at 8 a.m. Now that it's on at 4, she actually has a higher listening, higher listeners at 4 o'clock. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, I don't have an answer. Her fundraising hasn't followed with her growth of listenership.
That's right.
So, again, this gives me points me in the direction that we're not building relationships with our donors. The first weekend, or actually, no, I think it was July 10th, we did a luncheon with Sonia Barrett, the host of Expansion Zone. We did a small luncheon with some donors. Some of them pledged to go to the lunch, but we went back for the last three fund drives and cherry-picked some donors that have consistently donated to her program and to the station. And we just wanted to invite them to come have lunch, meet Sonia, myself, Dr. Romeo Brooks, who you probably heard on the air during the fund drives, to come and break bread with us. We wanted to express our gratitude. There was a donor that drove an hour and a half to come join us, and he had said something to me. He had said, I've been a listener and a donor for 20 years. I had never gotten a personal thank you, or I've never been invited to anything like this. And I'm happy to see that KPFK is putting faces behind the donations. And to me, that is very important, because if we're going to be a community radio station, the relationships within that community need to be strong, because you can't have a strong community without strong relationships within the community. And with that, I yield the rest of the time to questions and answers.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a queue of questions. Nancy, any other? Okay, go ahead.
What you just said, having run a nonprofit organization, I have found that a handwritten thank you note has always made a difference in people continuing to contribute. And so whatever show that donor is on, those show people should be writing that handwritten thank you note. It can bring in lots and lots of dollars. So I don't know how you mandate it, but you better continue to encourage it, because you just proved your point that you can get more. When I read your email about the fundraising, the thing that stuck in my mind is that we're spending so much time fundraising, so less on programming. And when I tune in, I drive a heck of a lot, and I tune in, and all of a sudden the fundraising is going on for 20 minutes. I said, where's the program? I see fundraising on PBS stations and on the other NPR stations. They have a few minutes of fundraising, and then they get to the programming, and then they go back to the fundraising. We aren't doing that. We're tuning out people who want to hear. So I don't know how we can educate them or train them to shorten their appeal, go to more programming, go back to the appeal.
10 seconds.
Let me answer that one. Most of those stations, or practically most of the public radio or public media industry, actually spend time before they go into fund drive, one, developing a message, but two, in a pre-fund drive mode where they're actually raising funds off the air by engaging their donors. For example, one of the things I aspire to do with the right tools is to be able to, before a fund drive, look and see what members are regular donors and may not have contributed in 2019 and start reaching out to those members ahead of the fund drive with personal appeals. to the programs that they've pledged to in the past. In regards to the thank you letters, we've done some of that. Again, we need more time in between drives to, one, reconcile the pledges, which is another issue we deal with in terms of moving from one system to another system, yet to another system to finally get a final answer and who's pledged for what and what premium needs to go out. We're losing donors because we're not able to catch up because people haven't received their pledges. And look, if we're an organization that is based upon trust and we're not meeting the expectations of our donors when we said we're going to send you this gift. Now, it's not a matter of us not wanting to send the gift. It does take time, but when we're in perpetual fund drive mode, it just makes things a lot worse.
I guess whoever's next.
No, the point is...
No, okay, no.
If you could...
Nancy.
No,
you're not getting a stack, aren't you?
I have a stack. Okay. I can put you back on a stack.
I just wanted to address it.
So we have a large stack, so we just... If you didn't get an answer, you didn't get an answer. I'll tell you what. I think it was Michelle who gave a short follow-up.
Right.
15 seconds. Go ahead. Go ahead. Follow-up.
Just can we cut the asking for the money shorter and have programming during the fund drives, more programming, less asking for the money? I think it would be more successful.
Well, we've tried that with Tom Hartman. We've tried that with Sonali, and we have very little success. I mean, it's unusual that we have a lot of success. Example, with the health premiums. I mean, we try and pitch other things, and they don't work. This is why we need time to prepare before we go on to air to have the right messaging, especially when we're broadcasting to a diverse group. There are people that tune in that only tune in for specific types of programs or for specific programs. Most of our listeners don't listen to everything on KPFK. So that means our appeals and our messaging to that donor or to that possible donor need to be tailored to them. And we need time to develop that messaging and to also understand our listening audience and our donors and what motivates them to support the station.
Okay, thank you. So now we've got a large queue. So please respect your limit, 90 seconds. Lawrence?
Thank you. And just to be transparent, me and Anil are working on an appeal letter to go to the unions. And I neglected getting back to you, so just want to be transparent about that. Now, it is true that there is a disconnect between the listeners and the station, and in particular programming. And I think it's the simplest thing to assign somebody to do those thank you letters. Or assign someone, I don't want to put it on who we're supposed to go to, but someone who could do those thank you letters. I know it's a lot of work, and you guys do a lot of work, and you do a lot of efficient, professional work. I appreciate that. But there has to be an interaction, an intercession with our listeners. And I know you're working hard on that, because I've met with you a couple of times. But, you know, we need to do that more because it's incumbent upon us to not just to hit the well all the time, but not dry up that well. So
Thank you. Barbara?
So I wanted to ask you, since you were here, the issue of a sustained donor, like becoming a member of, versus pledging for the drives because the premiums. So what would you prefer? I feel since I do pledge and receive a lot of premiums that somehow gives you a little more oomph for the fund drives versus becoming a sustainer. So what would you suggest? And I feel like if I'm a monthly sustainer, I probably wouldn't feel compelled to put in for a premium.
Right. Well, you know, there's a question, and actually there's extensive research on this. Would you prefer a donor to give you $120 annually, or would you prefer a donor to give you $10 a month? Actually, it's the $10 a month that we would prefer. Data does show, and it's in my report that I sent, not the state of the station, but the fundraising part. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact percentage, but the person that gives $10 a month
would actually be a prime candidate to, one, increase their donation over the lifetime as a donor, but also as a lifetime of a donor, they end up giving more for those reasons in giving $10 a month. And then actually it also reminds them of what they're contributing to. It's not an afterthought once, you know, if you do it once a year versus $10 a month. However, we do need to expand our membership and what the value of a membership is. Our current membership model is you donate $25 a year, you get to vote in the LSB election. I have to be honest, most people my age and younger couldn't give a damn. Just being frank, they want something else. So we're looking at ways of expanding our membership model, which I covered thoroughly in that. For example, I'm looking at a membership card or app, an app, where a member that donates $10 or more a month gets to go to restaurants or museums or zoos at a discount, and also with some of our strategic partners, such as the Left Coast Forum, who I met with last week. They charge $75 to go to the Left Coast Forum, but as a member of KPFK, this is in preliminary discussions, KPFK member would get a discount to that. So I think there's plenty of opportunities through our sustainer model to expand and also work with community partners and strengthen our relationships with the community. But then here's the challenge of doing that. Since our cash flow is so poor, we overly rely on cash coming in. So if we were to completely dismiss the fund drive and just focus on that, I think we'd be in dangerous water. So it's something that has to grow over time. The way that myself and the team at the station have been looking at it is we will promote the sustainer circle in between drives and focus on immediate income when we get into the drives. So that's, I hope I answered.
Okay, okay, hold on.
I hope I answered your question. I could go on and on about the membership model.
We appreciate that. Okay, great. So let's everybody, how much time do we have?
You have 5 minutes.
Okay, great. Let's go, and maybe we'll extend. But everybody curb their enthusiasm. Pardon me.
Can you give a name for order of the stack?
The stack, well, people haven't spoken before. Michael, Fred, Grace, Polina, Kiana. And Bella, sorry. Michael, Fred, Bella, Grace, Polina, Kiana.
Mansoor.
Oh, Mansoor. Oh, I know. I thought you just wanted my attention. So I'm going to put Fred in there after Grace. I mean, excuse me, Mansoor after Grace. Okay, so let's go to Michael.
Okay, I got a couple quick questions and then a statement. Did you ever make the conversion over to Salesforce for your CRM?
Okay, so I've had some time to reevaluate other systems, and there's been a delay in it because we want Pacifica to be on the same platform. I was up in Berkeley this week, and I got to meet with Quincy, the general manager at KPFA, and the interim executive director, John. And we spoke about Allegiance, which Houston uses. When Don was the manager, I had spoke with him about Salesforce and other platforms. He had expressed that they underutilize Allegiance, which is a platform we're looking at. It's a complete end-to-end solution. One of the things that excites me about Allegiance is the member portal and the ease of the onboarding process. Let me just briefly speak on the member portal. By having a member portal, a donor can go and log in on their own. I know not everybody has a computer, is computer savvy, but let's speak to technology. So a donor can go in and see when their premium has been shipped, see additional ways that they can support the station, whether financially or as a volunteer. But also we're going to be asking questions to get more of an understanding of our donors. Our donors right now are two-dimensional to us. And we're not living in a two-dimensional world.
We'd like to know more about our donors. What other nonprofits do they donate to?
Okay.
But you are looking at something else. Okay.
Yes.
Is anything being done to clean up the Charity Navigator description of Pacifica?
We are getting to the end of our audits and meeting the Attorney General, but I think Grace can speak more to that.
Well, we'll just...
Yeah, we'll do it in the director's report.
Okay. Finally, I just wanted to state, I've been a what you call a sustaining member before such a word was invented. I set myself up, you know, years ago, and I've never seen anything come to say, welcome to the sustaining member circle or blah, blah, blah. Is there any effort to go back to people who are doing monthly donations and bring them into the fold of sustaining members?
Yes, it'll become easier once we're on a new system. Our current system, MSIS, is almost like working in the Stone Ages compared to what other nonprofits, even smaller than our organization, is using. So I've made my case and how urgent it is that we move on from MSIS, because we're missing out on a lot of opportunities with donors and also engaging with them, like regular updates for sustaining members, and of course a thank you on your what do you call it, like your donation anniversary.
Okay.
Or when you became a donor. Right. Donorversary.
Okay, let's move on. So Fred, then Reza, then Bella, Grace, Polina, and Kiana.
You had
Fred.
My name earlier on the stack. Did you drop it off?
Pardon me?
You had my name on the stack earlier. Did you drop it off?
No, I didn't. I guess I didn't get it. Oh, I do have it. Well, you'll come after Reza, because Reza hasn't spoken today. Go ahead.
Fred?
Yes. I, as treasurer, I've the last MSIS report that I've gotten that has details on the different forms of income is from September of last year. So at that time, we had 100 or 200 sustainers with an income of about $2,000 a month. So I don't know what the average donation is, but... I assume that that's changed in the last year. So when are we going to get another MSIS report or the new software report that detail breaks out this different these different forms of income and what, the fulfillment rates are for the fund drives and things, all those little details.
Again, it's very difficult, one, to navigate the current system we have. Let alone take Terry from, since we're in almost every other month in Fund Drive, and there's a whole set of time that it takes to, one, prepare for a Fund Drive and also reconcile a Fund Drive, importing and exporting data from various systems to accomplish what one does. With the new software, the new platform, these reports would be easily generated within minutes than what it takes days to do now.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to have to make a motion here to extend time by 15 minutes. So moved. Any objections? 15 minutes. We're just going to go through the queue, not adding anybody to the queue.
Thank you.
So next is, so the queue has been adjusted. Fred spoke. Reza, Michael Novick, Mansoor, Grace, Belina, and Tiana. Okay. Reza.
Yes, we had a program. We had a program before. Some people that they could not pass their smart test on their car, donating their car to the station. A lot of money used to come to the station. A lot of people could not pass their smart and donating the car. And we used to have auction at the station. Why we don't continue the same thing that is bringing a lot of money to the station?
Well, we do have a robust car program. I'm not sure what information you're looking at. I think we're on par to make just about what we did last year in terms of receiving car donations. We promoted on the air. It's pretty easy to do, so I'm not sure where you got your information that we're not doing it.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on. Michael Novick?
I'll be happy to volunteer to write thank you notes, and I'll try to organize other members of the board to do the same. I support your efforts wholeheartedly to transition from MEMSIS, and until we do, I would urge you to direct the membership department to allow board members to work as volunteers in the department on fulfillment and on catching up with who our members are, because in my previous tenure on the board, I did obtain premiums to use in the fund drive, and I finally had to get permission from Terry Guy to access the mechanism myself to put them into the acquisitions. So I think that that would be a concrete way the board could participate. I know that they're reluctant to have volunteers in membership because of issues around privacy and so on, but I think the board members can be trusted to volunteer in that department. It would be a helpful way. That's all.
Okay, thank you, one other thing.
We have been promoting KPFK regularly in change links through the articles almost every month. We had an article by Rob last month talking about the fundraising committee.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
So next is going to be Mansoor, Grace, Bella, Polina, and Gianna. So, Mansoor.
All right, so everybody at the station are really working overtime, and Gianna is the subscription department, which is Terry and Rita and Donna, and I am over there like 12 hours a day doing the fund drive, and everybody's overboard, including the management. So I want you to enumerate the ideas that you have, what the board can do to raise money, those steps that you have already, I think, spoken about. And
sent a couple of emails and notices, and I think I've even included it in some of my reports in how the board can help. It doesn't always have to be about money. I know not everybody is a fundraiser, but there are things you can do, bringing people together to talk about the station. I'll certainly attend a porch party or barbecue of KPFK listeners and friends, and I'm at your disposal. You open the door, I will certainly walk with you through it. If there's an opportunity for us to gain a strong community partner, and especially if there's fundraising and money to be had at it, because that is clearly our present need right now, urgently.
Okay, thank you. Next is Grace, then Bella, Polina, and Gianna. Grace.
A standard budgeting, the way budgeting is done standardly, is before money or resources or staff time is allocated to a particular project, it must be proven to have been a known money-making project. It's known in Pacifica over five stations that at least 80% of the total revenue of the stations has come from on-air fundraising for many, many years. In fact, right now it's 90%. The breakdown used to be 80% on-air, 10% Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and 10% off-air fundraising. Many, many efforts in the past have been made to go away from on-air fundraising to other modes of doing it at all five stations. And none of them have succeeded. The NPR stations are not a good model because, according to our new interim executive director, 60% of their membership are Republicans. And by the demographics, are higher income and are able to donate more. They're more major donors. We have to see that the income streams from off-air fundraising justify further investment into them, and instead of using monies and resources we have to enhance on-air fundraising and do it more effectively.
Okay, thank you. There's no real question here, so let's move on to Bella, then Polina, and then we're going to move on.
Anil, thank you. Is the volunteer at kpfk.org still active? If I want to become a volunteer at the station, do I email you at volunteer@kpfk.org, which has historically been an email exclusively?
That information is on the KPFK website. It actually has a form on there that a person could fill out, and certainly we do receive calls.
Okay,
I've gotten a volunteer inquiry pass it on to Kiana.
Anil, the idea is to make it really simple for people to contact anyone that is in charge of the volunteer. There's always been someone in charge of volunteer, aside from doing a million other things. Who handles the volunteer roster?
Right now, Kiana does on an interim basis. KPFK hasn't had a volunteer.
Okay, let me finish.
Okay, you've
got 30 seconds. Volunteer at kpfk.org. I'm going back to the question. Is that an active email?
No, it's not an active email.
What is active for volunteers to say, I want to come in and volunteer? What do I do?
The KPFK website.
What if I don't have a computer?
Then how would you email somebody if you don't have a computer?
Okay, so then the next issue is that you yourself has been saying over and over again that what we are serving on the air to the listeners is not working. When Tom Hartman can only raise $100 and Sonali can only raise $250 or something like that, this is absurd. We need to motivate the listeners with the elections, the governance of their station, and that would motivate the listeners into another platform. And you are looking the other way. Instead, you're saying, well, what we're giving them is not working.
Sure.
What do we do? So let's motivate them about the governance of their station. They are the owners of the station. We have too many people calling in for products, and that's what's killing us. Thank you.
Okay. Secretary, please note that the member, Bella DeSoto, belligerently overused her time slot, even though requested by the timekeeper to stop. She went over like double her time.
Point of privilege.
Yes.
I really resent her raising her voice on the general manager of the station.
Okay,
this is not right for anybody to raise his or her voice on the manager or anybody at the station who works their asses off for doing things. I would like to have that one in the minutes too.
Okay, thank you. So Mansour is noted. So the next speaker is Felina, then Kiana.
I have a very brief question. So MEMSIS right now does not allow us to send out notices of renewal to our members, say, hey, you pledged last year, you're no longer a member, you won't be a member as of a particular date. Is that a difficult thing right now with MEMSIS?
It's not that it's impossible. It takes a lot of time to generate those. Just to be frank, even just to get a list of people that have donated $500 or more is an arduous process. And I try to keep up with those and making personal phone calls when I can catch them. But, you know, I'm not putting this all on Terry. He's given it an unfortunate set of circumstances, and not enough resources have been put into the membership department. I think, you know, this touches on what Grace was saying. You know, if we just don't treat our donors, our members, like ATMs, I think we would be in a better place. And it takes this information, being able to access it, like Fred wants a report or needs a report, the board needs a report to see where we're at. I want a report to know how our donor attrition rate is. I want to know if we're successful in converting one-time donors into sustaining donors. What's that percentage like? So this is information that's very difficult to get at, that's actually essential for us to develop strategies and campaign months and hopefully at one point quarters in advance of an upcoming fund drive or member drive.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, the time period for this is over, but everybody can email the general manager, gm@kpfk.org.
It's Aniel at KPFK. And certainly any board member at Lawrence, Polina knows, you can come to my office. I make myself, and Michael Novick, I make myself a Brett Mansour, Fred, and Ken Graves. I'm available to engage with, so doesn't always have to be at a LSB meeting.
Okay, so next thing on our agenda, we're done with that. Thank you.
Wait, she was on the...
Oh, I'm sorry, you're correct. I didn't understand your hand signals. Thanks for reminding me. Kiana. Kiana.
Can I use my time for both questions and answer and a statement?
You got like a minute or two.
So just to cover a few things.
Speak out.
Thank you.
just to address a few things earlier, Donna does do a lot of follow-up with people who have pledged previously and cards have expired, or maybe they haven't donated in a while. So we do have people on staff that are following up with previous donors who are no longer. And it works. It does work. They do come back to us. Sometimes they just forgot, didn't know their card expired, that kind of thing. So our follow-up is, it may be small and not necessarily seen on a large scale, but it's happening all day. We do still have card donations, and in the phone rooms, we get calls all day long about people who want to donate their vehicles.
That's great.
So that definitely does happen, for sure, on a very large scale. Also, programming and less fund drives, I think literally everybody within humanity would like that, honestly. But I think the problem is that we are a very unique organization, that we don't have large money supporting us, so we actually do have to rely on those fund drives. It's unfortunate, nevertheless, it is our reality. And we'd like to move forward, thank you. We'd like to move forward, you know, and leveraging more of our individual communities, which takes me to my next point. Thank you, Michael, for offering to come to the station and volunteer with us. Since I am the volunteer coordinator, you can sign up online. I get your request, and I go forward. I would like to invite the members of the board to come and join us in our phone rooms. Please, that could be the first step in helping us in membership. Onboarding in the phone room, a couple of months, we get you helping in membership. That's the best way to really understand what we do. Thank you.
Can we email you?
Thank you.
Yeah. Sign up online. That would be the best way.
Okay, thank you. So now, the next thing on our agenda is public comment. It's a 10-minute period. I don't think we have a mic set up, but someone will hand you. That's the mic. So whoever wants to make public comment, come on up. There'll be two more public comment sessions.
I want you all to imagine I'm wearing a black shirt with the distinctive new logo. I put it away in my closet to keep it fresh, and I forgot to wear it. It's money. Why can't people walk into the station and buy it and sign up? I mean, that's merchandising. As Grace said, National Public Radio is actually a merchandising platform for the Koch brothers, for all these, shall we say, reactionary elements in our society. We are a progressive group. We are actually merchandising progressive movements. Why not exploit those progressive movements for money flow? As a book reviewer in San Diego County for the Sierra Club and other academic publications, I received thousands of dollars of books every month. I had more books than I could read.
Seconds.
My daughters had more books than I could read, than they could read. I traded those books for CDs. I tried to give away $1,000 worth of books to the college library. They wouldn't take it. Why not take these books that all these publishers send us and give them away to the sustainers, say, you're interested in this topic? Here's a book for you.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay, thank you.
Drop the mic.
Next.
Stop it.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Lydia Ponce, and I am running for the board. I am running, and I am patiently waiting to activate your spirit in these things. I feel such a huge divide. It hurts. I had to walk out for my medicine. There are children in cages. There are bombs being dropped on people. There are waters being tainted. We need each other. And I want to acknowledge every single one of you for doing the work that you're doing. However, you have to talk to each other. What people demand is something that they have to actually give. Take a step back. I commend you for that report. I would like to come visit. I commend you for your volunteer efforts. I volunteered for two Thursdays years ago, and nobody told me that I would sit and listen to a barrage of calls complaining about not receiving their gifts. So my question for every single one of you, can we just do this a little bit different? I just tried to reach out for my medicine, and if anybody wants to partake, I'll pass it along. But I'm going to say this right now. You're going to lose a lot more people. Your asks for funding needs to be in many languages.
Time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Brad Davies. I'm a sustainer. I want to applaud your thought about the card you're going to send out, or an app that would be a discount. They used to do that a long time ago. I used to get a card in the mail, and I never used it much, but it felt like I was a member. Mm-hmm. Okay, made me feel special. As to, to become a sustainer, let me explain something that happened to me. 3 years ago, I called up, became a sustainer, $10 a month, whatever. At the end of the year, I got my statement, $10. What? The person I called in had not signed me up. So I call in next fund drive. Okay, I want to be a sustainer. End of the year, same thing. The amateurs that are taking it in just couldn't handle it. Finally, I made a big stink this time. They did it, but they wanted my credit card. Why am I paying 2.5%, 3% to these people? I want to put it on my bank account, so it's very similar to what NPR does, so that basically I'm saving money.
30 seconds.
And so basically, I had to go jump through hoops to finally get the paperwork so I could sign up as a sustainer using my bank account. I would think that would be a real standard thing. As to the programming during the thing, I have people that I've advised, go to KPFK, listen to the program. It's incredible stuff going down there. They tune in, there's a bunch of quacks selling snake oil.
That's it.
Yes.
Thanks.
Delicious. Thank you. Those are progressive quacks.
Hi, thanks everybody for coming. This is an interesting experiment in democracy. To be forming that perfect union, I believe. How much time do I have?
You have 90 seconds.
Oh, okay. I don't think a membership card is going to cut it, Mr. Fields. I think what you need to do if you want people to listen to the station is to start reporting on the community, the issues and people and places and things that are important to the people in your signal area. I don't hear that on KPFK right now.
Thank you.
If you started doing that, people would be tripping over themselves to get to a radio to listen to KPFK.
Okay?
I hear a lot of national Trump coverage wall-to-wall.
Yes.
Wall-to-wall. Okay? So that's on that point. You said that you talk to listeners and they just don't want to hear the community forums, okay, based on your informal survey. Well, have you ever run one on air in your time at KPFK? If not, how would you know that listeners don't want to hear anything like that? For example, KCRW 89.9, they probably don't want to air the Santa Monica City Council meetings once a month on Tuesday night. But they do it live as a civic responsibility to the community that they're a part of. Okay? If you have, now, is there any candidate forum, community meeting, public event that you would deem worthy of putting on the air live at KPFK as a civic responsibility to the community that you're a part of?
Thank you.
And what happened to Maxie Jackson?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in public comment? Yes, go ahead.
You're on the board, right?
Yeah. No, I was just
talking about it. I'm not sure where to start, but there was no actual mention. Nobody's even asked a question about how this fund drive is actually doing. And it's really not doing that well. This is not a surprise. You cannot run a fund drive 6 weeks on top of each other for 30 days. But the fact is, you haven't had a budget in 3 years, although this board has approved bad budgets. And I've written about how bad they are. And if you've ignored them and you keep doing it year after year, and there's no examination of the financials, even though it's little, and why the expenses are increasing. So of course you're going to keep running fund drives, on top of each other, and your per day is going to decrease. So this board is negligent. And I mean, Zuberi, at the last finance meeting, you came in all smiles and said, "Hey, ask me anything except for the finances." Okay, that's We've tried this membership card. It's very, it requires people to do it. So, I don't know, you're going to have to cut expenses, and then you're going to have to hire people to do all these great ideas. So, I don't even know where you can start. I want to know who edited the last LSB meeting. Was it you, Fred, or was it you, Ken?
Time.
At the end, it said, okay, now we're going to have public comment for 10 minutes, and then it abruptly ended, and then Ken was in the middle of the joke, and then they adjourned. So somebody edited the end of that last LSB meeting.
That is correct.
You mean the recording? You're referring to the recording?
The audio recording.
Well, yeah, I wasn't a mind reader. I wasn't here. Yeah, okay, on great. The recording. It's obvious. Okay, well,
can I answer? Ken, can I answer?
You can.
It wasn't edited.
No.
It wasn't edited.
Point of order.
Missing.
Point of order.
The treasurer's report is missing.
That's what it is, Fred. Ken, hold it a second.
We don't respond to public.
I understand that, but I'm responding.
No, I know.
We'll evaluate it. Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Do we have a public comment session later? Okay, good. We're done with public comment.
Alan?
So we move forward.
Next time, anybody who comments publicly, keep the microphone close to you so we can hear you, please.
Yeah, but not too this distance. Okay. Well, let's move on with the agenda, okay? There's another public comment session. So Governance Committee. I'm the chair of the Governance Committee. I'm going to report real fast. We voted a permanent chair of the committee, which is Ken, and a permanent secretary, which is Bella DeSoto. And then I'm going to stick in here a CAB report. We had a CAB meeting yesterday. I'm the secretary of that because I think I got somebody to be the secretary. The community advisory board is supposed to be distinct and separate from any staff member or board member or management or anything. I'm just was acting as secretary. And so they're starting to pull themselves together. There were 12 people. And they're going to have the next meeting on September 21st. And Yellen attended that meeting, and he spoke with these people. And that's the community advisory board. If you know somebody that you think could participate in the community advisory board, the obligation of which is to represent the needs and interests of communities in our signal area, and not be on the board and not be staff. We want people from outside. That's basically what we're getting. But if you know somebody, there will be a notice posted on KPFK events. It's the 21st of August. I think that's
September.
September. 21st of September is the next meeting. And at 11 o'clock at the station.
You've got a couple items you wanted to talk about here.
Yeah, I know. I have other items. Okay. So that's the CAB meeting. And now I'm going to go on to the meeting, the items for this meeting. And,
point of information, Chip.
Yeah, what's that?
The CAB is an independent body.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. Are you asking a question or are you going to make a statement?
Under the CPB rules and regulations, so are you not in violation of that, being in charge of...
Okay, thank you. Reread the requirements of the CPB. You have access to it. Reread
it. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm not in violation. Okay, so now on with the governance report. There are two motions that were passed by the Pacifica National Board, which I'm going to read to you. The first one is about underwriting activity, and it goes, whereas these motions were passed without objection on July 25th, 2019, whereas there does not exist a written policy on underwriting, and whereas Pacifica needs a clear written policy to serve as a guide for the general managers, program directors, business managers, and other administrative staff, as well as producers at our stations, and whereas there is an area with complex regulations governed by several different regulatory bodies that can generate serious penalties if they are violated, and whereas the Pacifica National Board is currently in exploration stage with legal counsel as to a comprehensive approach to underwriting, and whereas the Pacifica National Board is responsible for setting the general policies that guide Pacifica. Here we go. Be it resolved that no business unit may enter into any underwriting agreement or any agreement that can be construed as an underwriting agreement
until such time as this policy is revised. Any underwriting agreement that has been entered into prior to this policy directive shall be submitted to the executive director for follow-up actions, and any proposal that may be construed as possible underwriting agreement shall be submitted to the executive director for consultation with legal counsel. Now, point of information here, this is in your agenda. We are not going to discuss this now. We're going to discuss this in closed session at the end of this open session. And the reasons why I will read to you shortly. So that's that motion from the PNB. And the next motion from the PNB is, why don't you read that one? The next motion here, right here. Motion on constituent union agreement.
Motion on consistent union agreement approved by the PNB without objection, 25 July 2019. Whereas four Pacifica stations have expired union contracts and the other does not have a union, and whereas differences between union contracts has resulted in confusions and difficulties with their audits and pensions plans administration, and whereas inconsistencies complicate compliance with IRS, Department of Labor, and ERISA rules, and whereas having all of those contracts consistent with each other as much as possible will help simplify our financial reporting, the administration of our pension plans, and our audits, and whereas, to be fair, we should ensure that benefits and other provisions are uniform for all stations. Therefore, be it resolved that senior management take measures to ensure that union contracts be as compatible and consistent as possible between Pacifica stations having unions.
Thank you. So those two motions are passed by the PNB, and they apply to this station. As we read in the duties and responsibilities of the LSB, we operate underneath the guidance and direction of the Pacifica National Board. Yes, Michael.
What's the relationship between the role of a general manager and the executive director in
Could you speak louder and slower?
What is the relationship between the role of a general manager at a station and the executive director of the foundation in signing off on a union contract?
I think I'd have to have a director answer that. I can't answer that properly.
Okay.
Let me call on the director to answer that.
Okay,
can you
I will
answer
respond
it?
To that. Can you give your name, please?
I want to ask.
Yes.
this is Grace Aaron. I'm the chair of the National Board.
Right.
No matter what's been done in the past, all contracts that obligate Pacifica, and union contracts certainly do obligate Pacifica financially and otherwise, must be approved by the Pacifica National Board. The negotiations, of course, will be done by senior management in coordination with local management and with whatever legal counsel and unions are involved.
Follow up. The question was, what's the relationship between the executive director and the general manager in terms of signing a contract?
Okay. The executive director must sign the contract after approval of the National Board. So although the general manager may negotiate the contracts with the union, it's improper for the contracts to be negotiated and signed on a local level. They must be signed by the executive director after being approved by the National Board.
Okay, thank you. One second. Are you okay with that, Mike?
I wanted to add to that.
Okay, Lawrence and then Polina.
According to the National Labor Relations Act, what's not being said here is what unions experience all the time, is that management and the foundation has to enter into good faith bargaining when it comes to negotiating a contract.
Okay, great. Well, that wasn't discussed anywhere. The nature of the negotiations is not in this motion. It just says they should be consistent.
The question asks about the relationship of these entities. So I assume as a labor man myself that it's about bargaining. Mm-hmm. Bargaining for a fair contract.
Okay, great.
So let's, okay, Polina.
I have a question about the motion that you just notified us about, resolved by the PNB. When they refer to management or senior management, who is it besides the executive director that is being referenced in the motion?
Yeah, okay. Director, can you respond to that? What is the definition of senior management? Well, it's in the bylaws. The senior management is the executive director, the CFO, and the chair of the national board.
Okay.
That's not true.
That's it's in the bylaws.
So referring to the local management?
No, no.
That's my question.
That's the national management. State. I don't think there's a definition of management for the general manager. It's just the general manager.
Interim executive director?
Hold it a second.
No, no. I'm sorry. I'm wrong, Paulina. I found what Ken said.
So I'm just talking about that.
Yeah,
so
sure, thank you.
The interim executive director is the interim executive director. He's the executive director. Okay. So let's go on. That's that. Oh, I have to make a motion here to hold an executive session or closed session because we did not notice one. So my motion is the KPFK LSB will hold a closed session to discuss details about underwriting at the station to be held today at time certain of 1 p.m. This meeting will not be open to the public as required per Pacifica Bylaws, Article 7, Section 6, Paragraph C. It says Article 7, Section 6, Paragraph C. So the motion is to have a closed session at 1 o'clock.
And then
seconded. Any objections to that?
Can we move it up?
Well, no. You know, we'd have to have a time machine because right now it's 12:18. I don't think I can move it up.
Yeah. 12:30 to the end of this meeting.
Right, 12:30 to end this meeting,
yes,
right.
I don't see why we have to wait a half hour early this meeting to start the next meeting.
Okay. All right. So there's an amendment to, I don't think we're going to meet our 12:30 because we had too much discussion. So I think 1 o'clock is still reasonable. Yes?
Yeah, I think my opinion is the open session agenda, the personnel committee failed to meet and form a subcommittee to evaluate the program director and the general manager. And we were going, it's on the agenda to populate two committees to do those two tasks, which are in the powers and duties of the LSB. And I think we need to get to that.
Yeah.
And
you're speaking against the amendment. You think we can do it by 1 o'clock?
I would like to move that we extend the time certain to end this meeting to 1 p.m.
Okay, great.
Second.
Okay, any objections? None? Good. Okay, so now, back to my motion, closed session at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Any objections?
20 minutes more.
Good, no
comment.
Objections. So let's move forward. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make, in regards to the members' concern about the personnel committee, I think it would be appropriate to handle that as the next committee as opposed and then go to fundraising and program oversight. So can we move that forward? Any objection to doing a personnel committee? And
I can speak to that a little bit.
To the personnel committee?
Yeah.
Well, let's just move it up on the agenda. Any objection to moving it up to right now? The personnel committee, and then we'll do the other committees. Any objection? No objection? Good. Okay, personnel committee, speak to it.
Okay, since
we're mostly our concern is the formation, the actual who's on it, subcommittee to evaluate the program director and the general manager.
All right. So last time when Jan was here, many of us just told her that we want to be on that evaluation process committee. Mm-hmm. She has a list. I mean, it's not closed. So you can send her an email, say you want to be on the list, and I think once she's coming back, she's going to have the committee being active and start the process.
Is that for the program director or the general manager?
Both of them, I believe.
For both?
Yeah, it's a personnel, okay. So they're evaluating both.
Thank you. Grace?
I emailed Jan and mentioned this and said that we're going to have this on the agenda because she's not here today.
Yeah.
And she said that it would be a good idea and that she would like to be on both committees herself.
But isn't she the chair of the personnel committee?
The personnel committee failed to meet this month or get those
those subcommittees operate. So, you know, let's rewrite the list or add to the list of people who want to be on the program director evaluation committee and the general manager evaluation committee.
So clarification, Jan is the committee chair.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so Mansoor, your best recall, who volunteered?
So I did, I think Michael, you did as well, and Paulina did as well, I believe. So I don't know, I wasn't in her presence.
Did Michael Novick?
Yes.
Okay.
And Paulina did too.
Paulina?
But it's open, it's not closed.
Well, it's got to start. In other words, we can't rely on any individual, including the chair of the personnel committee. We want to start it, get it started.
She's coming back and she's going to start it. That's according to my understanding of when I talked with her last.
Okay, so let's somebody step up and say they're going to start it, and then Jan can say, okay, I agree.
Point.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I wrote to Jan 4 hours ago. She's responded to me. I wrote to her yesterday saying, hi, Jan. One thing, the LSB committee includes creating two committees, one to evaluate the GM, the other to evaluate the PG. Do you have any interest in being on either one of those? This is on the agenda as the personnel committee hasn't met to set this up. So she said, yes, I am interested in being involved with both committees. I think that I would actually prefer not to be the convener, but if no one else is willing, I will do so.
Okay, so right now we have Mansoor, Paulina, Michael Novick, and Jan.
I'd be happy to convene it to whenever.
Convene?
Yeah.
Which one?
Both of them. It's just one process.
It's two different people to evaluate.
Yeah, but it's an evaluation.
It's the same process.
Right? It's the same
same process. You think so? You're proposing that?
I don't have anything written down. All I'm saying is one committee can evaluate the GM and the PD. It's going to be one process.
Okay. So when do you want to? Let's get somebody. You'll convene it.
I can convene it.
Okay, Barbara.
Okay, I would be on the committee. I would like to know that there is going to be an evaluation process. I mean, a tool that will be able to be used for both positions.
Yes.
Obviously, the details of what's required for the positions would be different,
yes,
but it's the same type of process. If that's
absolutely
the case,
yeah,
I will volunteer for that committee.
Sure. Michael is.
Okay. Rob hasn't spoken to Kiana, and then Michael.
No, I'm interested in both positions.
You're interested also?
Yeah, both positions.
Okay, I'm taking names down.
Okay, and I said Rob, Kiana, and then Michael.
I'd like to also volunteer for the committee.
You're not volunteering, but yes, you are.
And Michael?
yeah, it's not a volunteer.
I wanted to share a quick point on the process, because I have served previously on both the GM Evaluation Committee and the PD Evaluation Committee, and we circulate a questionnaire to paid and unpaid staff and to the board members with questions regarding the job description for each of the positions and how they feel they're being fulfilled.
Bring them with you.
And then we also conduct interviews with the personnel as well.
Bring them with you, please.
Okay. Okay, so, Mansoor, when are you going to convene it for? Pick a date.
25th.
Okay, let's see.
That's a Sunday, I'm sorry. Monday 26th, anybody available? Well, let's just figure out. Who's available at what time? Who's available on
No, day? Hold it a second. What you read, you got these volunteers.
Yes.
Just go through the dates and have people raise their hands.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay. So starting with the 25th?
No, that's a Sunday.
Let him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
At what time?
Well, let's just figure out. August 25th, it's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Okay. Barbara?
I'm booked.
Oh, okay.
So are we raising your hands? We can make it?
Yeah.
So Sunday.
Okay, how about Saturday? Okay.
The 24th?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out most of it. So we most are available on Sunday. Except Barbara.
Not this Sunday.
Okay.
I mean, that Sunday, I'm not available.
Okay, so we meet the first one. We can talk electronically to what your desires are.
Okay.
Sunday the 25th?
Sunday the what time is good for everybody?
Or
What about September 1st? Is that the Labor Day weekend?
Labor Day is Monday the 2nd.
Okay. Who's happy to be at the station at the time on Sunday? We meet at the station? Or you want to meet some?
The
25th. Yes, it's a Sunday.
Okay.
What time?
Well, I'm just trying to get a sense of location.
Let's say 11 a.m.
Noon.
Okay, so...
Noon, yes or no?
You're not part of the committee, so let us figure out.
She keeps asking for the time.
It's okay, just chill. Okay, so it's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock is good with everybody?
I heard Fiona say noon.
Okay, is 11 o'clock okay with everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, 11 o'clock it is. Sunday,
the
25th.
Good.
At this station.
Good.
Don't bring anything except cookies and coffee.
Okay, great. Okay. So that resolved that issue. And that's the end of the Personnel Committee section.
And I'm going to notice it on KPFTS right now.
Who's going to notice? Wait a second.
I'll notice it.
If you have access to notice?
Yes.
Could you do me a favor, Grace?
What?
Just send an email saying, please post
to
Michael Abbott.
Okay.
Sure. But you should do it immediately. Because
it's got to start. Please post.
Point of order?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a week from today, so you should do it immediately.
Yeah,
right. That's what she's doing. I'll do it now.
But it's closed session. I mean,
right. It's not to the public.
Yes. What time is it?
But you just announced it. So.
12.
Yeah.
August 25th, 12 noon.
Yes. And no, 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Okay.
Fiorella wants to be on the committee as well, so we'll add her on.
Good.
I believe I have everybody's email, so I'll send an email to everybody.
Okay, just to review, because Michael's going to send this notice out and an email.
I am just going to post it on KPFK and KPFTS at this time.
Okay, good. We'll handle the email notification.
Point of information, Chair?
Yes?
Should it be best not to be placed on the KPFK website since it is a closed session? Just leave it on the KPFTS.
No, I don't think so.
It has to be noticed and it's closed.
It's noticed. Session. Closed.
Yeah. Well, then it has to say closed.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Town hall task, please. Are we on the next agenda, Town Hall?
Yes, we're moving forward. Town Hall Task Force.
That's me.
Go ahead.
Lawrence.
How much time is it for that?
We'll give them, what do you need, 5 minutes or
five,
2 minutes?
Yeah, that's
seven
fine.
Minutes.
Seven minutes.
7 minutes, Chair, please.
Okay, so here's the report. We have good news. We finally located and secured our location. And the town hall has been set for the 19th of October, which is Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Our location is a Union Local SEIU 2015, and that's 2910 Beverly Boulevard, L.A. 90057 by Vermont Avenue, which is nearby all public transport. The capacity is 150 to 200, with kitchen, plenty of free parking. I thank Lawrence Reyes. He worked really hard. I prepared a letter to motivate the unions, and it worked, and he was very persistent, and he approached three others. They all had issues, you know, conflicts, so forth, and finally we got that location. I did get from the general manager a check for $600. And he owes me $20 because the check request was for $620, but we're not going to go there. All right, so I also submitted the revised worksheet, which is the check request, and he has all of that. I also have given copies to the Finance Committee Chair, Fred Blair. I wanted to say that yesterday, for the first time, Paul Roberson came to the town hall event. It was a very cozy event. We met outside because I couldn't have the keys. I had no keys to get in. So he saw everything that's being done, and he got excited. He is going to get us get involved and also get us what it's called a selfie. We have a great idea to motivate and get people excited about taking pictures with a backdrop, the stay in place. Singy is our graphic designer. She's going to be getting all the images now, because now we have the location. And the general manager, Aniel, sent me certain funds to be consistent, but those funds are a bit complicated because they have licenses and all of that. So I wanted to get instructions from you, Aniel. I sent you a reply, and we can talk about that. And yesterday, Paul Roberson got excited about the ideas and so forth. And we're going to do a very limited edition, just a very limited edition of some T-shirts and some hats, just for the commemoration of the People's Banquet. So I'll leave it there, and we're going to, I met with Aniel also a week or so ago, and we went over what we're going to do as 60 and 30 second cards so that we can promote it properly and get the people in there. And Michelle Manos is going to be creating our Facebook page, and it will be linked to KPFK, and we'll be submitting our digital electronic poster for the website. And Lawrence Reyes will speak.
Thank you. Could you repeat the date and time?
Yes, October 19th, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
So I want to add to the report.
Yeah, go ahead.
As a convener, I apologize to the committee because I've been out of town a lot on various conferences and business. But we were able to secure SEIU 2015, which is United Long-Term Healthcare Workers. Those are the people that take care of the disabled, the disenfranchised, the special needs children, and all of that. So we were able to secure that. And it's at no cost to us. I just want to emphasize is that we need to work with the treasurer to make sure that all our T's are crossed and all our I's are dotted, and that this financial transparency, because I know that's one of the concerns of Mr. Macon. So, and
Macon?
Macon.
Macon.
Right?
You mean Macon. Paul Roberson?
No.
You keep using my whole government name. That's like the fourth time, but thank you, though.
Let me finish. I'm glad that Aniel is on board, and we need to continue to collaborate, and we need to get that appeal out to those unions. So I just want to say that the union was very, very fired up, you know, that KPFK is going to host a town hall at their location. So that's a good thing. And I'd like to thank Paul Roberson for keeping me in the loop and communicating with me. Thank you.
Point of information regarding the personnel committee. Just want to let you know that on the 25th from 10:30 to 2:30 p.m., the outreach committee is also meeting at the station. So that may or may not provoke no conflict. Okay.
We have 1 minute to this segment.
Right, 1 minute to the reports.
No, to the town hall castle.
Right, the town hall castle. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, so I wanted to just regarding the class. Michael Adler just pointed out that the outreach meets there. We meet at 11:30 a.m. and we meet always upstairs. So you can meet anywhere else in the station for the personnel. Okay. I just wanted to say that everyone is. We invite everyone on the board. As we are going to invite everyone on the programming grid to participate and make it a very successful town hall, because we need everybody's energy and input, and lots of volunteers. Okay, so, and we look forward to also working with Ms. Kiana Williams. She sat on the meeting with Aniel at the station.
Chair. Time up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Information.
We got to really move on, I really want to make sure we get public comment.
I just have a question for you.
Go ahead.
So I'd like to announce the Committee of Inclusion meeting. I'm convening the Committee of Inclusion on August the 28th of Wednesday from 7 to 8:30, and I need to make arrangements with the station to see if we could meet there.
Okay, be sure to send an email to the secretary
Michael. Yeah.
And start with please post.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll never catch it.
Okay.
Okay. Once you get the vote, then you vote the term. Okay, great.
Point of order. I have a question.
Yes.
Will that be, will people be able to call in to participate in the meeting?
I think if we could try to stay away from that. I know that I tried to call a couple of times, but I didn't feel comfortable doing so because I think we should be in the flesh.
Yeah.
Why not for me? Like, I work, and it's hard for me to get on that side of town. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would like to participate.
Okay.
So I guess I'll talk to you.
Yeah. You know, if that's all you can do, then we'll accept that participation.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Let's move forward, and we skipped over two. And again, if you don't have anything substantial, it's okay. Let's just move on. So I'm going to go back and pick up fundraising. Rob?
Yes.
How much time?
Well, total... If I take off, I'm going to get the last 10 minutes for public session, public comment. Yeah. So that's 50. I got 12 minutes. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
3 minutes.
Three
that's
minutes.
It. We're out of time.
Whoa.
Just go for it, Rob.
Okay.
We'll spend the time with
you. Michael did mention about the article, how Changeling, give KPFK a lot of exposure. So I wrote an article, KPFK LSB Fundraising Committee, and this has a widespread because we have a mailing list that the papers go out, and it's about 12 of us that distribute the paper out, and then it's online. So it gets, KPFK gets a lot of exposure. So the paper has a great impact on the station. But I'm a bit confused. Dr. Aniel, about everybody received one of these letters where I was soliciting donations from. So he and I spoke, and he came up with the idea to send the letters out to the listeners who let their membership expires. And I'm not sure. So I think, and Michael made the point about bringing back this contacting those memberships. So I think he mentioned somewhere like 4,000 or 5,000 members who needs to be contacted. So if this letter went out, I would think maybe like 3,000 people would wake them up and they become members again. So that would be a good chunk of money. So I'm waiting for him to make the letters and the envelopes, and then I'm putting together the team, and we're going to send them out right away. Now, I got a friend who is, you've probably seen this, he's in the George Clinton Band. So I talked to him, and so he decided to be on the fundraising committee, and which would be a good thing because it's not a level here, but it's a level up here. Because these are the people that he associates with every day. These are people who, are big donors. And like you get up in the morning, what are you gonna do? Let's play golf. Whatever it is that they do. And these people, they are part of other organizations. So what? This is not about Hollywood movie stars or anything like this. It's about raising money. KPFK needs seed money. Need money to invest in these programs. Invest in competitive programming, not critical programming. Competitive journalists, not critical journalists. So raising this sort of money here, raising it and bringing in, it pays off. You'll be able to pay off bills, a lot of bills. AP is going through, like I said, added staff. You can hire. Highly qualified.
Okay, let me interrupt you a second.
Yes.
Is this all posted on the internet anywhere?
What's that?
This
I did send this out. I did send this particular information out. So, like I said, but I just want to make sure that everybody got it. And what it is, basically, because it has not an impact. And then, real quickly, I also talked to him about this. My same friend introduced me to this organization, the Los Angeles Black Music and Film Awards. They got a red carpet affair, and y'all asked me, would he be able to get exposure? I said, if you'd be a media sponsor, yes, you get a lot of exposure. You can get up on the stage and you can plug KPFK. So okay. Again, these people are elite people. These people don't let, you know, these are the type of people who pay $500, $1,000 plate dinners. So that's what these people are. These are people that they need to tap into. So that's basically what the purpose for all of this. So once I would say, if you get up on the stage and say, yeah, we're KPFK and we do this, and as soon as you, you know, step off it, you right there in the click, you start talking to people. You can start talking to people, like I said, the people with that kind of wealth, who these the people are part of other organizations.
Okay. We got it. Okay, good.
So
we're time. On time.
Okay.
Barbara,
I think that's great what you're doing, Rob. Do you need any helpers?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, we do. Matter of fact, we're meeting August 22nd at the station from 6 to 8.
Okay, good. Anyao?
We're also going to set up a dedicated, he forgot to mention, waiting some of the assets, but we're going to set up a dedicated fundraising page for Rob's efforts.
Great, very good, thank you. We're out of time, we've got to move on. We've got agenda and we've got public comment. Well, is it a question?
It's an addition which was left off. I brought the letter that you had given me, which is the letter that was going to be sent out, but we discovered some errors. I wrote you back. I never received a response from you regarding the letter. The letter could have already been sent out over maybe a week ago, but it has been stopped because you never sent the allowed us to correct it. Also, I volunteer with Anil and you to help stuff the letters, address the letters, do anything necessary at the station. But we have not been able to do that until that letter gets corrected.
Okay, thank you, guys.
It's a new one now.
Let's handle that out of session here. Let's not take up everybody yakking about it. Right. So let's go next. I got like a minute for the Programming Oversight Committee, Michael.
The committee has been met. I'm proposing a meeting on Thursday, September 19th. My suggestion would be that we do it at 4 p.m. at the station, so there'll be a chance to meet with the program director if possible. Mm-hmm. So I will check with...
So the date, Michael?
Okay, thank you.
Michael?
Thursday, September 19th at 4 p.m. at the station is my proposal. I will check with Kevin Fleming about his availability.
What time did he say?
4.
Okay,
4
thank
p.m.
you. Good, got it. We got it, and it's noticed, right?
No.
Did you notice it?
Yeah.
Not yet?
I will.
Say, please post.
September 19th. It's more than a month away.
I know, but that's fine. But say, please post when you send it, because okay. Michael will get it on KPFTX and KPFK.
I need to check with Kevin first.
Okay. All right. So next is two other committees. Then we can go to public comment. Town Hall, we did. Outreach Committee. Outreach Committee.
Outreach.
A minute.
Okay, Outreach Committee doesn't have very much to report, except that it has a joint partnership with the Town Hall, because it requires a lot of energy. So we have had separate meetings, but on the same topic, and that is concentrating on the Town Hall. And we meet again at the... We meet every last Sunday of the month. I also wanted to make mention that the Outreach Committee always has a vigil every Friday between 5 and 6 p.m., and it is at Echo Park Peace. It's an Echo Park Peace Sponsored Vigil,
mm-hmm.
which promotes KPFK and peace. And it happens at Sunset Boulevard and Echo Park Avenue at the intersection. Please, if you're in the area, come down, bring your signs, and do some hollering. The other thing is that we are going to be having a movie night, and we are just finalizing it. But in September, we will be announcing a movie night at the Echo Park Film Center, and it's usually at 7 o'clock with 6:30 food and conversation and so forth. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And we would go to public comment unless the director wants to take 2 minutes. A director's report for 2 minutes.
I think it's more important to have a treasurer's report.
A treasurer's report. Yeah. Do we have one, Fred?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that.
Could you...
You're right, Grace. That's right.
Could you distribute these? This is a printed copy of my director's report.
Oh, great.
distribute those before you give your report next time, Fred?
I'm sorry?
Can you distribute them before you do your report next time?
Yes, so we can read them.
Okay, let's go.
Well, I sent it out electronically last night. Okay? Okay, how much time do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
We made some money, we lost some money.
Okay, well, okay, could I have silence so people will listen to me?
Okay.
Lawrence?
Raise up, please. Quiet.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, the FY18 audit should be done September 30th, September 30th of this year. This report is based, the financials in this report is based on a consolidated P&L for Pacifica that I received as a member of the National Finance Committee. I haven't been given permission to distribute it beyond the NFC at this point. I would like to distribute to the LSB, but I don't have permission yet.
Fred?
And the next, yes?
Point of information. Is anything on here private to just the LSB, or is this all public that's on
this? For now, this is all public.
Okay.
Okay. In any case, on August 12th, the NFC received a consolidated P&L for Pacifica that lists all seven business units, and then for Pacifica as a whole, from Tamara of NETA, who was also our interim CFO. I compared that with the P&L that we received for KPFK back in April, April 30th. And there are substantial differences. I don't know if that's because there's been 3 months intervening in which NETA has had a chance to clean up the Pacifica General Ledger and correct errors and other things. We had corrected some errors in the KPFK P&L back in April. So in any case, the consolidated P&L only goes through March 30th. That's the first first 6 months of, or the first two quarters of fiscal year 19. I've listed both for KPFK and for Pacifica as a whole some keystone financials. The average monthly operating expenses are higher than what we were getting from the KPFK P&L back in April. And the monthly payroll is also higher. Listener support is actually less, and total revenue is also less. I don't know what this means. I think this may mean that the general ledger is getting tightened up and cleaned up, and we're getting closer to the real numbers. In any case, I will be following this up with Tamara at the next NFC meeting on August 27th, which is in about another week. The report on the NFC, we were supposed to have an NFC meeting on the 13th. That was canceled because of technical failures with the Maestro conference system. And so we're going to have to wait until the 27th for the next NFC meeting. On the budget timeline, management, Aniel has requested a meeting with the local finance committee on August 21st, in which he wants to have a closed session to go over the situation at KPFK. The main thing I want to emphasize is that the July fund drive is performing very badly. the numbers I've seen now for the first 26, as of last Saturday, the first 26 days, we're doing a daily average of $13,000 and $13,075 a day. That's considerably down from the May fund drive, which I believe was $18,000. That's almost $5,000 a day lower. This is a very bad situation, and I characterize it as an existential crisis because what else can I say? That's about it. Do you want to ask me any questions?
Okay, hold a second. We have 10 minutes left for time to end at 1 o'clock, and then we have public comment.
I move to extend
we can extend the meeting.
Second.
Anybody opposed to extending the meeting by 5 minutes? Okay. So questions only. No lectures. No complaints. Just questions. We got Bella and Polina.
Fred, thank you. Fred, thank you so much. Question. The KPFK financial stats from April 30th, that's based on which, what reporting?
That was a P&L that was generated by both Barry Brooks and Tamara of NETA. It was also generated off the general ledger as of that date.
Right, as of April 30th, and then it's the discrepancies are with the consolidated KPFK financial stats from March 31st, and that was generated by the same people?
That was generated on August 12th, but it only goes through March 31st. NETA has said that they're going to be updating P&Ls, updating them, advancing them 2 months every month. Going into the future.
But do you think that the difference in the time frame does it explain at all the possibility in the discrepancies, or is it something else?
Okay.
I don't know what I can say about the discrepancies. I would say that I think it's because NETA is correcting and cleaning up the general ledger. So we're starting to see the numbers converging towards the real ones.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Bella?
Yeah, so I continue to see... Thank you, Polina.
Check.
I continue to see... Is this working? Can you hear me?
No.
Okay, so I continue to see... Why is it that the station has to be on constant fund drive, and that is the average, the reason for the salaries, extremely high in relationship percentage-wise in
I have a question for you, Bella.
To the gross
income. I have
income.
A question for you. Let me interrupt you. Do you
so
have a question
can you address
for the,
that?
Do you have a question for the treasurer?
Fred knows what I'm asking. Can
What's
you
the
answer,
question?
Fred? The relationship of the high salary percentage to the total incomes received.
That's personnel.
I completely disagree with you, Bella. The issue is that there's a deficit because expenses are greater than income. It's not specific expenses. It's the total expenses that are important in a deficit.
Salary.
Not salaries are not the issue. They're only the issue in terms of how management plans to decrease expenses to match income. They're not an issue in terms of their percentage in the actual total expense, total liabilities.
What?
Okay, any other questions? Let's go to Lawrence.
Yeah, thank you. So, I don't know if you can answer this, Fred, or maybe Yanel can answer it. But what is the reserve? Is it 3 months worth? Is it 6 months worth?
What reserves?
A prudent reserve. In other words, a prudent reserve. I know it's kind of old school, but it's what you have in the bank just in case of a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think Fred can respond to that. Maybe Anyel, can you answer that?
I don't have an accurate number right now, but it's somewhere in the low 100s.
100,000. 100,000. Okay. That's an answer, Michael.
Only at 13.
All right. Yeah. By my rough calculation, KPFK spends about $9,000 a day to stay in business. And if we're raising $13,000 a day during our fund drive, that means for every 3 days of operation, we have to be in fund drive for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that illustrates what Neil was saying, that our current fundraising model is completely defunct.
Correct.
And okay. We need to, possible change it.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon.
All right, any other questions? No, we're done. Now, hold it a second. This is a problem. This is not a platform for, gee, woe is me and why don't we?
Okay, now we're going to
questions. Questions about the report only. And this is the last one, unless you have a question. Wait, do you have a question? Yeah, go ahead. He hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead, Oscar.
Just out of curiosity, and because I don't think it ever has come to a point, especially when we reviewing this.
Could you speak louder and into the mic?
Okay. So just quick question. Do we have any idea in general how many people are employed, are actually paid employees by KPFK, just the local station?
How many?
I think the number is something like 27 effective employees, equivalents?
33.
So he's saying 27 equivalent full-time, which is about the same.
Daniel would know more.
Five.
More precisely.
It's 27, 26 full-timers. Don't quote me on that one.
Okay. Okay, so that's, we're done with the finance. We're going to go to public comments.
What makes up for the difference between FY19 listener support and FY19 total revenue? Is it underwriting?
Payroll.
No, I mean listener support.
We can all answer that. There's other sources of income, cars,
requests.
Big things.
Public events.
Right. Perfect.
Okay. Public comment.
Oh, you're so easily satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I used to work for the LA Philharmonic subscriptions department, and although you're the same fruit in the nonprofit sector, it's the same bowl because you're asking people to support financially. And I really think that we should do an open invitation as a power play in regards to kind of trying to climb out of the hole constantly, and I think that personally you would need a lot more single mothers and fathers who actually make a dollar stretch. That's one thing. The secondary thing is in response to Lawrence bringing up the videos, I personally will make my own video because I have not received a response from my email from the national person, and her name escapes me because
Renee.
Okay, because I tend to not keep that in my computer, in my brain, if people just ignore me. And I will not be ignored anymore. So I'm going to go ahead and make my own, and I'm going to have to read the fine print to make sure that that doesn't breach or break any kind of candidate rule. And the other thing is, in regards to public comment, I think that it should be duly noted. I think it should be duly noted that there are concerns raised that are constantly raised and that are not addressed, because that's part of the problem. And the last thing is, it's a critical, strong critique. The power as a board member can actually make a motion to agendize the particular topic, because I don't know how your agendas are being built or written or created, but to be inclusive is to say that everyone's time here at this table is important. There are four directions that we pray for as Indigenous people. There are four colors to the medicine wheel. We are not going to move forward on anything if we do not agree that everyone's time is important equally. Let me just close with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Kim.
I think this last discussion on the finances and this example of why you're all broke, I mean, you'd want to shut down conversation, save it to the end, and like, oh, nobody can talk too much, you know, we gotta end it. And actually, once somebody gets the floor, they can do what they can say whatever they want. They don't have to ask a question. They can make a statement or make a point. This is absurd.
Right.
This is absurd. Okay, the personnel committee should be open until you're actually talking about people. This is absurd that all of these personnel committees and the processes by which people are being evaluated is non-transparent. I mean, last month you already handed Kevin Fleming a lawsuit by claiming that you're going to have this committee and we're going to do evaluations and we're going to do the PD evaluation first. Grace seconds that motion that Ali Lexa made because Zuberi has been here a year and a half and Kevin Fleming not even a year. Mm-hmm. So that's unfair treatment of an employee. I can see why you want to go in closed session because we all know that once you want to do an evaluation, that employee is toast.
That's true.
The election, I don't know what better results. Last year you had 9% blank ballots. While you may technically have reached quorum, that is a vote of no confidence for the last election. Okay? People did not get a quorum of votes. This one is even less transparent than last year. It's incredible. Chris Kobach couldn't do a better job. I want to speak about this underwriting. It has been going on at KPFK for 2 years, since Christine was IGM, and she announced that she was doing this. I told Grace Aaron, and I told Ken Aaron for 2 years that this was wrong. It was violating FCC and CPB, and I told them because they were the only two LSB members on the Finance Committee for 2 years.
Yeah.
There is nothing inherently wrong with underwriting, but if you don't disclose it, and if you have run spots on the air that are not in the proper format, you're violating, you're putting KPFK's license in jeopardy. I can think of nothing more irresponsible than that. And this has been going on for 2 years. I don't know what y'all are going to discuss in closed session. I don't know where this underwriting motion came from. It burst fully formed at the PMB. No committee. It came from no committee. And why it gets buried into the person that has been ignoring at KPFK the underwriting going on here is a mystery, which I hope you will all find out. How much is actually getting collected? I'd like to know. Mansour told the PMB that it was about $100,000 a year. I haven't been able to figure out where in the revenue that's represented. In Zuberi's reports, he talks about these community partnerships. You need to find out whether that is actually underwriting and whether it complies with the disclosure that is required by the FCC and the CPB. So I'm hoping you will ask these questions in this closed session, and why that's in closed session is a mystery that I'm sure you will all soon find out about.
Thank you. Time's up. Anybody else for public comment? Yes, sir.
I would like to build on the comments of Michael Zeno, who would like more community news. First, there is the local, and there is the international. Los Angeles is an international city. What we consider local is actually of interest to the rest of the world. In my experience making video documentaries, we can travel to foreign lands, or we can work here in the Los Angeles area. My most successful video so far has gone 310,000 views as of Friday. 300,000 views equals 150,000 hours of TV time. If that video has a 1% click-through rate, you have an alternative stream of income.
That's right.
These videos carry ads. If an ad plays through, it can be anywhere between 1 cent and $8 a click. And when you have 300,000 videos, 300,000 views of a video, and you have an entire channel of these videos that are perhaps of local news, that are of international import, or of local news that say 2,000 or 3,000 people view, it's significant. It's an alternative stream of income. And when I hear that you're only getting $2,000 or $3,000 a month from sustainers, and I've made as much as $1,200 to $1,700 a month on YouTube, guess what? You need me.
Thank you. Another one more public comment?
Yes, I'm Michael Zeno. I'll be very brief. 60 years in business and no formal written policy on underwriting. That kind of makes the station mission statement challenging corporate media perspectives a punchline, doesn't it? There's not one word about programming mentioned at this meeting. I know it's not a programming meeting, but a lot of the problems would be solved. We'd solve themselves if we had a product people wanted to listen to.
Thank you.
Okay? That's to me, that's the main problem. No one wants to listen to what is currently on air at KPFK.
You.
And there seems to be a certain group of people that like it that way.
Right.
Okay? And so that's got to change. KPFK is radio powered by the people, not the replay. Somebody tuning in from outer space would think it's the Christine Blasdale infotainment network, not a community-sponsored radio station giving a voice to the voiceless. Where's the recent coverage of the homeless situation in Los Angeles?
Thank you.
You have thousands and thousands of people camped out in tents and cardboard boxes. And here we are promoting Shepherd Fairey. Shepherd Fairey gets more promotional airtime on KPFK than the homeless people camped out probably down the street from the studios.
That's right.
Okay? And that's got to change, man, if you're going to live up to the mission of the station, a voice for the voiceless. I didn't hear that mentioned here once. I'd like to make a recommendation for this meeting, this board, to go through the archives. The next meeting, one meeting, go through the archives. Listen to the programs. Discuss amongst yourselves. Is this working? Is this not working? Are people listening to this? Is this what we want to do? KPFK is powered by the people, not the replay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to close the public comment.
I understand, but we still have like 15 minutes.
No, we're over time. We're over our 10 minutes.
No, you're not. You are required by the bylaws to have 30 minutes of public comment.
You are. Thank you. We're over the time allocated to this meeting. We might be violating that thing, the bylaws. But we're
what does the
time.
Board think?
The
board.
Is the order.
What
the
does
meeting,
the board think?
The meeting has come
point
to
of order. I think no. We should go
the
5 minutes.
The board gets to decide that.
Extension.
I second that.
5 minutes.
It's 5 more minutes.
Okay, we got a second.
Yeah, I second that.
5 minutes. Any objection to extending public comment? 5 minutes.
Yeah, let's
then
go.
Then the meeting is adjourned.
I have a point of order.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to be made clear that the notice of the personnel committee is not a closed meeting.
Here,
I want to
Michael,
object.
Make it loud.
My point of order is that the notice of the personnel committee, PD, subcommittee of PD and GM evaluation is not a closed meeting. It never has been. At the initial stages, it's an open meeting
That's
to discuss
right.
the criteria. I wanted to raise this at the time. It was raised in public comment. So when Michael
I think
Adler,
your point of order is not well taken. There's no restriction on noticing a closed session. If your only restriction is tradition, that's not valid
no,
enough.
I'm sorry. There's no reason to have a closed meeting.
Well, that's
the
an
opening,
opinion. But that's
that
not
is not an
order.
Opinion.
It absolutely is a point of order. All the previous meetings of the PD evaluation and the PD hiring committee, the GM evaluation, the GM hiring committee have started with open session meetings to discuss the criteria.
That's
and there's
right.
no need.
That's okay, I'll change it.
Okay, hold it a minute. Okay.
Because you know it's true.
We have for public announcements too, remember?
So, well, I understand, but we're running out.
Within that 5 minutes, if you could also include.
Okay, we'll include it. So 1 second here. The motion is to extend for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I heard that that's being changed. Is that correct?
Now, slow down.
No.
Slow down. Chill. We'll handle everything.
You don't have to raise your voice.
The session is extended for 5 minutes. We want public comments. You want to make announcements, and you want to get this motion changed to open session.
Michael Adler is doing it.
Okay. Is there any objection to the personnel committee meeting open session?
It has always been open.
Thank you. Has there any objection to meeting open session for the personnel committee? None. Okay. That's changed. To make sure you get your announcements, make them now. Then we're going to close with public comments. But to keep the announcements, please, down to very brief.
Chair, is it 5 minutes for public?
5 minutes for everything.
Okay.
Climate strike from September 20th to the 27th. We need to make sure that we support the youth on the 20th at Pershing Square. Things are being planned throughout the whole week, and we're hoping that KPFK, I know it has to go through to be a sponsor, so we have to go through those processes. We'll probably do it through American Indian Airwaves. Aside from which, thank you very much for hosting this meeting, and thank you for opening it to the public.
Thank you.
20th through the 27th of September.
Hold it 1 second before public comment. Lawrence, was there other announcement?
Yeah, there's another person that wants to speak that.
I'm going
to
do it during public comment. So.
This is public comment.
Okay, so we're into public comment. This gentleman hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
My name is Shannon Rivers. I'm a Native American living here in Los Angeles. You guys know me, but... I have a lot of friends, some of them that work at KPFK, folks that have been doing a lot of work. American Indian Airways has been on the air for a long time. And I'm kind of behind the scenes a lot, but I hear a lot of comments about the animosity within the organization. And one of my suggestions is maybe it's time for some of us to go. And that means that if we're being co-opted with the American Indian Airways, we're being co-opted, and there's 173,000 Native Americans living in Los Angeles County. It doesn't sound like a lot, but there are over 1 million Zopotecs and Mixtecs that live in L.A. County. And we're missing out on a big population of society. And we're struggling just to get these things on air. And I appreciate what you said about being kind of an information radio station. American Indian Airwaves hits many of our community members, but we don't get a lot of listenership. It's because it does sound as if we're promoting a product.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe we're not utilizing this station in its capacity that we can to where we can generate money. Are we reaching out to the nations that are local, the tribes? Can we give them air spots? Can we have a conversation with what they're doing in the communities? Not necessarily asking them for money, but donations in some sort of way. Do you have a Native American representation on the board? Somebody who's legitimately from the community and has a voice? That needs to happen. And someone who can cross these sections into the indigenous community. Be mindful. There's a lot of folks out there after Standing Rock that came out. This is long before Standing Rock. This is long before these movements. The movement that we did at Divest LA and shutting down Wells Fargo. Irene and all of our relationships that are out there. I'm concerned that we're losing the station and that we're losing our relationship to the community.
Right.
It is a radio station that has a lot of history. I love Margaret Prescott. I love Democracy Now. Those things are great. But where are our local conversations?
Right.
We don't have them. And if we have a big organization like American Indian Center in downtown Los Angeles, we have Coyote Radio, American Indian Airwaves. Why are we not using that more? Why are we not generating more listenership? And if you don't know how to do that, and there's too much infighting, then maybe we need to step back. Maybe it's time for some of us to go. Some of you guys got gray hair like I do. Maybe it's time. And it becomes as if we're seen like we're just fighting in the station constantly. And I'm concerned about that as a listener and as a representative of the indigenous communities here.
Yep.
I tune into this station when I can or when I'm sitting at my desk, but I'm concerned that I hear the conversation behind. So how do we do that? How do we then go beyond that point of arguing and being stalemated? You know, maybe that's something that we have to look at ourselves. And how do we do that? And maybe if you can't do that, bring somebody in to negotiate or to communicate with you guys on how to break that down and do it.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that's the end of public comment. We're out of time.
I have 9 seconds. I have 30 seconds.
There's an email public comment.
I have 30.
There's an email public comment.
What?
There's an emailed public comment.
She said, sorry, check us out.
What does that mean?
Okay, let me just do
somebody
mine first.
Somebody emailed in a comment who
time
can't be here.
Okay.
Okay, wait a second. That's it.
30 seconds.
Allow
here.
Kim asked for 30 seconds. She's a big contributor to the station. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to be quiet.
Okay,
30
so
seconds.
Thank you.
Start.
Go.
I want you to question what Grace Aaron said that the invisible IED said about that NPR is not a good model because it's 60% Republicans. That doesn't even make sense. When you look at the listenership of those two stations in Los Angeles, there aren't even
60 Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. In the whole state of California, you have a third Democrats, a third Independents, leaving a third Republicans. On a good day. On a good day, there
have
been. These numbers, you can't.
Thank
you,
Kim.
To use your critical
thinking. Seconds
Kim, is NPR is national. National public radio, that's what NPR is.
No, I understand, but we have two big stations in
thank
Los Angeles.
Kim,
you
thank
can't
you.
Believe that that's not a good model because
Kim,
it's
Kim.
Republicans, Kiana. It doesn't
all right, thank
make
you.
Sense.
Thank you,
Kim. Thank you very much, Kim. Thank you.
Is the meeting
I'd entertain an adjournment
there's
motion.
A public
motion
comment that was emailed in.
Chair.
We're going to close
there's
session.
There's a public comment that was emailed
we're
in.
We are not taking public comment on email.
And why not?
Because we didn't agree to. It all just pops up.
I second that motion.
Motion to adjourn has been seconded. Any opposed? All right, let's vote. Hands up for adjournment. To go to close session.
I start to break out.
All those in favor of adjourning, please raise your hand.
8 in the morning, and why was that not put on the agenda?
1, 2, 3, 4. 5.
I didn't see it.
6,
I never
7, 8, 9. All those opposed to adjourning. 1, 2, 3, 4. Are you guys changing? All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All those abstaining?
1.
Okay. So 9 to adjourn, 7 not to adjourn. 1 abstain.
Is way too close.
The meeting adjourned.
This is most unfair.
The meeting adjourned. Thank you. There's